Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Thanks for joining me for another Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com. Really appreciate all of you joining us. If you haven't done so, if you haven't subscribed to the show yet, please do so. Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And please rate and review the show. And, of course, you can find all of our programming, CannabisRadio.com. Let's get right to our guest. Founder and managing partner of Entourage Effect Capital. I'm here again, once again, with Matt Hawkins. Matt, thanks for being on this.
Thanks for having me.
So you were just telling me just before we got on that there's a new fund that you have now put in place. Go ahead and elaborate on what you're doing right now with that.
Sure. Haven't launched it just yet, but we're about to. It'll launch probably in June or July. But the exciting thing, it's our fourth fund, and we have a anchor investor that is a large pension fund. So we'll be bringing institutional capital to the space, which is just a very, very, very exciting bit of news, and it could be to the tune of north of $100 million.
Now, with that institutional capital, are there any particular things you see in the market right now, or just with things like where the DHS is descheduling cannabis, is that one of those factors that might pull the levers that more institutional capital is coming in? Is that one of those factors that might have played into why people are looking to go ahead and join the fund?
I think so. I think that people that can get around the federal illegality of this, meaning institutions, some just can't because it's a hard stop right away with that. But those that can have been hanging around the rim for quite some time and see the opportunity as such that this is a once in a lifetime type of a deal from being able to get in the middle of something that's got rocket ship capabilities once regulations and the penal regulations are eliminated.
And you've actually talked about this with the Dale's report about this in particular, and the level of reinvestment that's made available for some people that are seeing that when 280E is no longer a factor, that some companies will probably see maybe up to 10 to 12% of the revenue coming back that they can write off on taxes. Companies like Ascend Wellness, we've talked about, that they want to go back and go to the IRS and try to get back as much as 3 years of back taxes.
That's right.
Or $10 million. I mean, how much capital is there to get back from taxes that you can see? And should all of them look at possibly reinvesting that money back into their business?
All the above. I mean, I think the reality is that there are, in an aggregate, hundreds of millions of dollars that are sitting there waiting to be utilized once 280E goes away. And that utilization could be anything from, using that capital to grow your business, so deploying it back into the business, mm-hmm. using it to, distribute dividends to investors. I mean, there's, that hasn't happened in years in this industry. So there's, but ultimately that will be a catalyst that is very much needed because, again, we're one of the few groups that could have access to institutional capital, and it's not freely flowing and may not freely flow until you know, more robust federal legality.
One of the things you also focus on is in Germany, where adult use is now legal in that country, and the fact is that, is there a lot of money that's being looked at right now to go ahead and fund, and do you think that this is the key that picks a lock to get the rest of Europe on board with adult use or some form of cannabis regulation?
I do. I think Germany going is a big, big deal and will be the driver for the rest of Europe. You know, it's interesting, though, because it's competing with arguably the best time to be investing in the United States.
Right.
And so for our dollars, I think, you know, we're more committed to exploiting the U.S. market than we are going overseas. But we do have a Fund 2 investment that's in the Netherlands, and they are very much benefiting from this this movement in Germany.
So I asked a question. I was on a Blunt Business program with another guest that specifically talked about, he's also, his backing is with, worked with Goldman Sachs, worked on a you know, multi-billion-dollar fund with them, and opened with a company with the folks that was one of the CEO of Barclays, without going into too much detail on the guest. But I asked him the question about if cannabis could ever be looked at as a commodity. Because of the idea that where if companies want to go and be able to invest in stocks, and you know, the public trading route is not working well, and somebody can put up an IPO, and it's going to just take a while, that long-term growth is not going to happen. Are you surprised that we never had anything, that kind of thought process, where cannabis could be put in the Chicago Mercantile Exchange?
Yeah,
you put it as an actual commodity?
Very good question. I think you need to, when I think of the word commodity and cannabis, I don't necessarily think of it as a commodity that's listed on an exchange. I think of it as a, you know, what the plant has become in certain states. And so mm-hmm. what you've seen, California in particular, is after a period of really, really high pricing, you've seen it drop dramatically to where it's traded as if it were a commodity.
Right.
Now, having said that, having it listed on a national platform like the Chicago Mercantile Exchange would be great, but my question is, how would you do it when pricing is different in every other state, and it's not like, you know, like orange juice futures where it's the same nationwide? It's a little bit different.
Right, and I came back with the whole idea of where, you know, there's certain pricing hikes that will come up, whether it's 420, 710, or yeah. the holidays. At least you know there's certain times where the pricing can go up, but yes, states would be very much variable. But is that something that could ever be done? Because I think maybe
I think it absolutely could be done, but my opinion is it has to be fully legal, and it has to be right. at a point to where we're actually crossing state lines, and then it may very well be listed.
And I bring that across because I'm wondering if that would be something that investors might put their money into, or if they're just waiting. But at the moment, what can you tell me about those potential investors you've had that you've been talking to, you know, those that are still sitting on the fence and haven't pulled the trigger yet? What are the real existential factors that have held them back from putting in? You know, no matter if you can tell them long-term growth is going to pay off, but they still haven't said, we can't put this a significant amount of capital into this yet.
I mean, the biggest driver is, from an institutional standpoint, is the federal illegality. I mean, there are certain things that endowments and pension funds, certain pension funds, can and cannot do, mm-hmm. and it's written in their bylaws. And so investing in something that is federally legal is quite possibly one of those. And so that would have to be rectified in order for it to work. Having said that, I think there's other drivers, like we mentioned, you know, the rescheduling or safe banking. That will drive more capital in here, but still not enough.
But there's also the idea that we get enough companies out there, enough speculation that always goes on in the market anyway, that just the speculation alone will make people invest heavily. But
right.
that hasn't been the case here.
And it's because, it's more to do with the lack of broad-based investing power to do something like that. I mean, we don't have a BlackRock. We don't have... Mm-hmm. someone, you know, that you can walk down the streets of New York City and try to get institutional capital investing, and we're not on a major exchange. And
right.
so therein lies the opportunity, though. And those are the things that are so exciting about being in on what's effectively a ground floor opportunity that can, you know, become for, you know, arguably a $30 billion industry to a $70 billion industry close to overnight.
Exactly. So you also spoke on a panel here at the show?
I did.
And specifically, you know, what is it that you have gotten in terms of feedback from what you are going to speak about, or have you already spoken about?
Already spoke about it, and it was a nice panel. It was we had two investors and two brands, and talked a lot about, you know, asset allocation and different trends and different sectors to invest in the space. And so I think, you know, I think people took took a liking to it.
Fantastic. Again, founder and managing partner of Entourage Effect Capital. Real quickly, I want to make sure I don't make the mistake of the website, but give me the website real quick, the URL for the listeners.
www.entourageeffectcapital.com, or if it's even easier for you, eecpartners.com.
All right. Matt, thank you again, as always, for being on with us. So glad for you to make time.
Awesome. Appreciate you having me.
Stay tuned. We have more Blunt Business coming up after a short break.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
Welcome back to Blunt Business. Time to introduce our next guest. So first of all, I'm joined with the Chief Commercial Officer of Vist Labs, V-I-S-T, Rick Citrenbaum, and I'm also joined here with Christian Hegeseth, the COO of Vist Labs. Thank you, gentlemen, for both being on.
Thank you. Thank you.
So getting back to it, Vist Labs develops and supplies healthcare and pharmaceutical-grade decontamination testing, contract packaging services, naturally decontaminating and preserving cannabis in a modified atmosphere, and packaging, reducing microbial contaminants, yeast, mold, bacteria, and other microbes along with that. So in the space now, what you're doing in terms of helping out in that compliance effort and the testing process, what can you tell me in terms of where you... Well, I'm going to ask you this. You know what? Because we've seen a lot of new markets open up, and including outdoor grows, New York, for example, and they're having issues where they're seeing constant contaminants. And no matter what, it's as if contaminants are almost like, it's kind of, maybe might be overlooked a little bit or just not properly tested and managed what's going on with that. What can you tell me about what Vist Labs been doing right now? Are there any issues, what you've seen about what growers have been doing, whether it's been indoor or outdoor?
Realistically, there's all kinds of issues in the industry right now. You have all kinds of grows that are not following the testing requirements because it's not federally legal. And what ends up happening is that because it's not controlled by the FDA, you end up having different testing, you know, situations going state by state. So what we do is we make sure that all of our clients that we work with globally have a fully natural decontamination so they can bring all their microbial levels, yeast, mold, bacteria, aspergillus, down to a sort of a non-detect, but done in a organic, let's just say, natural way.
But also in the same respect.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
There is no uniformity within compliance or testing standards. So when you're working with companies, what is it that do you have to kind of create your own uniform process of who needs to follow what and what they should be doing? Christian?
Yeah, we think so. I think that the heart of what Vist Labs is, you know, concerned about is delivering clean cannabis to the consumer. And I think, you know, if people, like you're saying, you know, there's a problem with that stuff because it's often overlooked. But I think if a consumer is given the opportunity to buy cannabis that they know has been naturally decontaminated, you know, if they know that there's a possibility of contamination in cannabis, and they can get something that's naturally decontaminated, never irradiated, I think consumers want that. I want that. I'm a weed guy. You know, I smoke. I'm a flower guy, and I have been for years. You know, I smoke, you know, bowls and joints as like my, you know, primary usage, and I care, you know. And so I think that's what, you know, really, it does matter. Like, there's a lack of, I guess, it's, you know, even with some oversight, you know, there's a lot of argument to be made that, like, cannabis was never getting us sick. And so what's the problem with the contamination? And I think, you know, there's certainly a camp that that's fine for all natural and stuff. But I think that also there's a lot of consumers that care, man. You know, they it's the reason people eat organic chicken instead of non-organic, or, you know, make those healthy decisions about that it matters where what you put in your body, like what how it got there. And so I think that, you know, yeah, I think there is a problem through oversight, but only to the extent that, like, people care about that. Not everyone does. You know, there's certainly a camp of people out there that would rather just buy natural cannabis and smoke it and not worry about what, you know, little pesticides or heavy metals or those kinds of things are in it, because it, hey, it's how many, it's not really gotten anyone sick. But I think there's a lot of people that care. And so, you know, I do think it matters to a lot of people what those regulations are. And then there's a whole group of other people that doesn't matter to at all. You know, that's just the way things break.
So now, in the terms of what you're doing at Vis Labs, just to kind of refresh your memory about what Vis Labs does to help out in that decontamination process, what services you provide?
So our we have a core a decontamination technology that we developed for the cannabis industry. Rick and I's partners, Jim and John Sanfilippo, amongst a handful of other partners, are machine guys, and they've been building these kinds of solutions for a long time. And so we built a system specifically for the decontamination of cannabis that doesn't use irradiation or oxidizing chemicals. So we just use a natural pasteurization service. So our primary decontamination technology that's competitive with RadSource and Zeal and others like that is cryopasteurization. We have a set of machinery for that. And then the big thing we do, though, is aseptic modified atmosphere packaging. So we do bulk packaging of cannabis on an oxygen-free environment that preserves the terpenes and the freshness and the quality aspects of cannabis. And so modified atmosphere packaging is our secondary line after cryopasteurization. We do that for bulk, and now we're launching the consumer products part of that business. And Rick is heading that up for us. So, Rick, you want to talk to the consumer products part?
Yeah. So we're launching consumer packaging in about 3 weeks, where we're launching a technology for, you know, in regards to for pre-rolls, flower, to keep it hermetically sealed, kind of like a portion control, a little bit like Nespresso does, where we're offering a technology for pre-rolls, flower, allowing the cannabis to be, you know, completely free of yeast and mold, but also to stay fresh for a long extended shelf life.
Okay. And for those companies that need to go ahead and that should be more proactive, what do you say to them about what they're doing in their process? Because, I mean, we've seen a certain state where Oregon wants to now, you know, include more testing for aspergillus.
Yep.
You have the issues with Nevada.
Yep.
Or in other markets like New York, where they've had issues with the decontaminants.
Correct.
Or pesticides being
Correct.
Brought in the process. You know, what should companies be doing to self-police themselves?
Well, I think it's like an insurance policy. You must have some sort of stringent sort of rules and regulations within your grow, within your location, about how do you treat your cannabis, how do you treat the HVAC system, how do you treat all the sort of airborne bacteria that's in your facility. But realistically, the key thing that growers need to do is be forced to have to spend a little bit more money to be able to offer a better product. But some of them are being very proactive. A lot of our clients are being proactive in doing what needs to be done prior to the FDA. And some of them are being like, you know, we'll do it when we're told. So you have a few different people out there. You have different sort of rules of the game right now. And we've been really working well with a lot of the growers to help them, you know, create that safeness, that cleanliness, and deliver clean cannabis to the consumer, which is, you know, which is a big mission that, you know, a lot of consumers out there are really looking for.
Now, are there any markets right now that are either for medical adult use that the standards that they're asking for, the the cannabis management boards, when they've been asking about what they've been offering in terms of the compliance standards? Has there been any particular states or any that you could say that when you go to this particular state that the clients you have that you're working with, the customers you're working with there, that you have very little issues where contaminants are going to be a problem or pesticides or any other issues at all, that, that your decontamination, there's like very little issue to go to work with, that, you know, the compliance standards being applied in a state are above board, or at least they're at least above the bare minimum.
Yeah, I mean, you have certain states like California, I think, that has sort of this sort of Wild West type of, you know, standard stringent rules. You have Illinois, which is super aggressive. And then, you know, the Canadian, you know, pharmacopoeia standard. You have different, you know, EU GMP. Yeah, there's all kinds in European Union right now. Our machines are becoming EU GMB compliant, where you have to have, you know, under 20 CFU. So you have different regulations globally that have to have. Luckily, our machines are adjustable, and we can, you know, adjust the, you know, the dwell the whole time, the whole nine yards, to be able to bring down to certain kills. But, you know, if there's 100,000 CFU or a non-laboratory tested state, the grower that's, you know, working and growing and doing is not really going to spend the money to go and do it, unless they are like sort of forced to, or unless they feel that there's something that they want to pass on to the consumer. So we do have tons of clients in California that are not mandated to actually do the test. They don't have to do it, but then use us and work with us because they want to offer, you know, better cannabis to the consumer. And I think that's people that are...
And then, Christian, I want to go and make one point real quick to you, because what Rick says right there about that your team and your services are already EU GMP compliant. You're already meeting that standard. But now, what is it about companies that need to go and make sure that their whole process meets that standard? Because at the end of the day, that is the role model of compliance that we'd like to see companies have, regardless of what their, you know, compliance boards are going to say. We'd like to see companies that will reach that standard. And
right,
you're already, you know, putting that up for the testing on the microbial side altogether. What should companies be doing in order to be able to fulfill that whole process, that standard?
Well, you know, I think, maybe the burden is sort of unfairly put on the companies at this point, because really what they're doing is reacting to the consumer. You know, so companies are just giving the consumer the minimum that they require. And I think when consumers see the opportunity to get, like a modified atmosphere packaging and the freshness of it, you know, because, so, you know, a lot of the, growing up in Colorado in the 80s, I'm 55 now. I grew up in Fort Collins, Colorado. And, you know, we used to get all this, you know, what we called, you know, Mexican ditch wheat. And it was this brown stuff that was caked and always had a bunch of stems and seeds in it.
Yeah.
You know, and it turns out, like, that stuff was always just packed on, like, formaldehyde and then, you know, walked up and stuff. I mean, that was, you know, back in the day stuff.
Right.
And, you know, I hate to even think what was in that, but they dried it in the sun as well. And so, like, all the cannabinoid profiles change, though, because you oxidize it and you put it in the sun, and your THC transitions to, THG, what's the sleep one?
THCV?
THCV, yeah. No, THCA. Anyway, it's the, you know, so THC in the sun transitions to a the sleepy CBN.
Right.
It transitions to CBN over time.
It transitions into
the CBN.
I just want to make sure it does. It's all good.
Yeah.
I like that.
I want to congratulate Rick.
I want to congratulate you, Christian, on the transitioning.
Mazel tov on the transitioning. The family, we're all so happy for you.
Yeah, you too. Baruch Hashem.
So now, as we're going to wrap things up, website is vistlabs.com.
Vistlabs.com. Yeah.
VISTlabs.com. And for those that want to go and come and check out the website, what should they do first and foremost when they go visit your site?
Sorry, what was again?
What should they be doing when they go visit your site? How should they contact you to go and start working with you?
Yeah, you know, obviously information's on there. It certainly is a it has a full explanation of what our core technology is. But we want to look, we're here to solve problems, get clean cannabis to the consumer. And when, for the companies that care about that, we have a unique suite of solutions and that I think that are appropriate. And so looking forward to people learning more about us and finding the people that are the right fit, because we're certain that there's a lot of people that want to be, that, you know, consumers that want to buy clean cannabis.
And Chris, there was going to be one more thing you wanted to make mention of in terms of the technology.
Yeah, so we're launching, and as I say, this pre-roll packaging and this whole sealed packaging for hermetic for cannabis. And I think that's going to be the most game-changer in the industry, because it's the only time in life that you can enable, you know, that your cannabis is clean, you know that it's been treated, and you know that it's been fresh, that it's staying fresh, and that you'll have the best experience possible. And that's what we can really help with, not just on the decontamination, but on the packaging side. We can really help growers make their cannabis better and allow them to have a better return on their investment for all of their consumers globally. And I think that's something that's really important in the market right now.
And most importantly, you make the point about how what you're doing right now meets EU GMP compliance standards, which I think for any company that's going to be able to do that, that's a proactive step.
Totally agree.
And I want more companies to go and realize that when you have a company that's going to offer that kind of step, that level of service, that level of quality, that level of compliance, that's why Vis Labs gets a real
totally agree.
Solid accommodation for just doing that alone.
Thank you
so, again,
much.
Christian Hegesith, COO, and Rick Sitterbaum, Chief Commercial Officer at Vis Labs. Thank you, gentlemen, for being on with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.